Yes, we do appreciate it very much when you tell others of our broadcast. That's the way that many of our new listeners are brought to the message. And today we have a very interesting subject, almost saved and saved so as by fire. Saved so as by fire. Perhaps you've read that in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. The apostle says here, in the 9th verse of the 3rd chapter, we are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry, we are God's building. Now notice these words of Paul, according to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. And another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then we read in the 14th verse, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Well, we know a number in the Bible who were saved from fire, and there are going to be many people saved from fire. You remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where they were thrown into the fiery furnace, way back in the book of Daniel. We read of it because they would not be guilty of idolatry, but they were not consumed. There was a fourth in that fiery furnace. That is the Son of Man, and he delivered them from the fire. Then we read in the book of Genesis about a man by the name of Lot. Now Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and God sent word to Abraham that he was going to destroy that wicked city and send upon them fire and brimstone. But he did not do it until after Lot got out. Notice these solemn words in the second chapter of 2 Peter. God spared not the old world, but saved Noah. And he brought in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And God turned the cities. Here we have 2 Peter 2:6. God turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. He condemned them with an overthrow. He made them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. He delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. You know, as Christians, we ought to print 2 Peter and hand it to people. The great majority will not believe it, but it's your duty and my duty to warn them, as God says in Ezekiel 3:18, if we do not warn the wicked man of his wicked way, though his soul will be required at the hand of God, his blood will be upon us. But if we do warn them, if we're faithful in telling them the truth, then we will deliver our souls, and their blood will not be upon us. But here's the solemn truth, my dear friend. As God sent fire and brimstone upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah after Lot left the city, so after the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has been taken out of this world, there's going to be a time of judgment. God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he hath ordained. He hath given us assurance in that he hath raised him from the dead. Yes, that's Acts 17:31, and God teaches in the Bible that dealings with the Lord Jesus Christ are inevitable. You'll have to meet Christ here in the day of grace as a Savior and hear him say, come unto me, and I will give you rest. Or someday you must meet him in the day of God's wrath as a judge and hear the Lord Jesus Christ say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, because all judgment has been committed into the hands of the Son. The Lord Jesus is going to be revealed with his holy angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and who obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, we read about a man by the name of Agrippa. After Felix had trembled when Paul spoke of righteousness and judgment. And then Felix, you remember, said, "We'll hear you in a more convenient time." We don't know that he ever did. But Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And Paul said that, "I would that you were not almost persuaded, but altogether." And I want you to know this, dear friend. To be almost saved is to be altogether lost. Some years ago in Chicago, there was a very disastrous fire in the Iroquois Theater. There were hundreds of people burnt up. And you know, when they took them to the morgue, they found some 200 feet away from the exit, the front door, way back by the stage. But there were some on the front steps, some on the platform of the balcony step, and right near the door, there were three. And when they took them up, they were just as dead as those people who were way back by the stage. One more step, and they would have had life, but they died with the others. And remember this, no matter how much you may think of Jesus Christ and the Christian religion, so-called, and be a friend of the church, individually, personally, for yourself, you must receive Christ as your own personal Savior. God's not saving nations. God's not saving communities. God's not saving families. The question for each one to ask is the question of Pilate. What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? There have been people under conviction by the Holy Spirit. There have been thousands of people who knew what they ought to do, but they postponed. They didn't believe what God said. Today is the day of salvation, and boast not of tomorrow. The very best time to receive the Lord Jesus Christ is right now. Now is the accepted time. You never know about tomorrow. And I beseech you, as a messenger of the grace of God and a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you receive Christ as your own personal Savior. And you remember this, to be almost saved is to be altogether lost. I'll never forget what the old colored preacher said down south. He said, "Many a ship has gone down in sight of land." Oh, my dear friend, you better take care of this matter. The most important issue of life, the wisest step you ever took, is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now we read in 1 Corinthians 3 of some people who are saved so as by fire. I'll never forget what our great evangelist in this country said. He said, "There are thousands of people who use the gospel as a fire escape to keep out of hell, and then they do nothing about it afterward." Well, the Lord tells us of those whose works will be destroyed, but they will be saved so as by fire. Well, if you don't do anything else but receive the Lord Jesus Christ to keep out of eternal perdition, that's a very wise thing to do. But I'm sure you do not want to be a fruitless Christian. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples." You can give a library in your own name, or you can give all your money away to the poor in philanthropy and be the most benevolent person in town, and except you do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never receive a reward. The first thing you must have is the solid foundation. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. The first thing to do is to come by faith to Calvary and receive the Lord as your own personal Savior, and then begin to build for eternity. And everything you do, do heartily unto the Lord. Do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. You cannot pray to God except in the name of Christ. God will not receive your works unless they're done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Someday, as Christians, and it may be very soon, we'll stand in the presence of our blessed Savior at the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the deeds done in the flesh. And he said, "Thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just for every good work we do in the name of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. we will be rewarded. Others are saved, so as by fire. My dear friends, that's a very dangerous place to be. I wonder if you have the assurance of your salvation. God wants you to have a real know-so salvation. Would you like to have a little book we've written? It's entitled, Are You a Hope-So Church Member or a Know-So Bible Christian? If you write in, we'll send you that book, or we'll send you the other book entitled Paradise, Perdition, and Purgatory. You can have either book. Now, this is Pastor J.C. O'Hare.